our church songs today in the band, who of God ministered to us and helped us with it. Let us sup with you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lamb of God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Touch our soul today, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
His life is upside down.
Amen, amen, amen.
He belongs to you.
Praise God.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I might just announce that I don't have my phone with me today. I just decided to leave it at home. So, ushers and different ones are texting me, letting me know different things. They're asking questions. I don't have it. So, call the little phone here or text Brother Weiner and let him tell me.
Be filled with His glory. Zion, rejoices. Bible says that praise is comely among God's people. So it's okay. You know, we can praise God while we have our being. So I'm thankful today that we are here lifting up praise unto the Lord. And I just want to say that God, he's worthy of all our praise. And so I'm just thankful that I have the opportunity. Praise him while I can. You know, I'm sure one day there will be that I can. But I'm thankful that today that I can lift up his name. I can begin to praise him. And David said that, you know, he was pleading to God, and he said that, I can't praise you in the grave, God. But none of us can. But while we have our being, we can praise God. We can lift him up because he's the one that's given us our breath, everything that we have. We just give it to God. That he give him credit that he's given it to us. And I want to use it for his glory. I want to use what God has given me, like Brother Painter was saying. You know, if God has given you any talent at all, you know, why would you go out here and try to do something out in this world when it was given by God? So I want to be able to give God back, you know, what he has given to me. And just in the community, you know, who I work, you know, they call them the guys that, well, they was, I hate to think that I'm one of them now, but anyway, pioneers, you know, guys that been around a long time. They feel like they need to give back to the community. And so we need to give back to God as well. You know, God has given to us, and we need to give back to him. You know, and give. Don't be like one of the nine lepers that didn't come back to thank Jesus for killing them. They healed all ten, but nine of them didn't come back, but one did. So let's be at least one that come back to praise him and let him know that God is because of you, because of your mercy on my life. You know, so I'm just so thankful today that we're here, lifting him up, lifting up his name, and coming into his sanctuary. You know, to worship him. That's why we're here, is to worship God. And I know it's not all just in the praise, but the full package is worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, the full package. We want to be able to worship God in truth, but we also want to worship him in the spirit, because it takes both. You know, I don't want to be unbalanced. I want to be balanced in the things of God. I want to be able to appreciate, you know, him giving us words that will help us and change our lives and give us the right perspective on things. You know, sometimes it's just a perspective that you have on things. Sometimes you even things that you hear sometimes. I know in a service, you know, we all hear what's been said, but you go around and quiz people, what did you think that person said? You may hear several different opinions. Brother Tucker tried that one time. He whispered in somebody's ear. It was a bunch of people sitting on a pew, and he whispered something in one of the first person's ear. And when it got down to the end of the pew, it was totally different. You know, I mean, I'm sure the first person heard what he said. But when it got down to the end, that wasn't what he said. You know, when they passed it all down. But anyway, we want to hear what God is saying. We want to hear his word. And we want to be instant in season as far as in the spirit. We want to be able to lift him up. And the spirit lift up our, you know, it's a lot. It depends a lot on us, you know, on me, as being able to be willing to allow God to touch us spiritually, you know, touch our hearts and to begin to realize our need to worship him and to be able to yield ourselves to God. You know, that's a lot of it, just having a mindset to yield ourselves to the Lord and just let God, you know, have his way. And that's what I, you know, we all, I'm sure we all want that, is to be able to let God have his way in our lives. And some of that is just being, just step forward sometimes. You know, just to be able, just to step forward to let God do something for you. And he can, you know, he just wants somebody, you know. He wants a willing person. So anyway, it's just good. I just thank you. I'm just so thankful today that all our good visitors here with us and the worship with us. And I see Brother Jacob here. Brother Jacob, I don't know if word ever get out to you, brother, but your dad really mentioned your name a lot. So anyway, you're here. I'm glad to see you here today. And then I know that a couple of the sisters that was here last, was it Wednesday night for Bible study? And one of them been here before, right? Right? White and her granddaughter, Tony. Yes, good to have y'all here again. Again. God bless you. Let's see now. What are we doing? We're not missing about, are we? Good to have everybody here. And I was thinking last night, you know, I was asking somebody, when the last time we had a Saturday night service? And of course, I guess my memory is not too good. I was thinking it hadn't been that long. But somebody said, man, it's been long when Brother Leonard was leaving. I thought, Lord of mercy, I don't remember being that long. But anyway, it was good to embrace Saturday night again, you know. Brother Tucker called that the devil's night. And he said that's the one way of giving the devil a black eye is to have church on the devil's night. So anyway, we did that last night. So it's good to be out here worshiping God and showing God that, you know, it doesn't matter what night it is. It really doesn't. I'm telling you, it's just a matter of surrendering to God. Like that's why Paul tried to encourage Brother Smith was helping us with the law and how that law was so engrafted in the Jewish people until Paul had such a hard time trying to, you know, shake them loose from some of it. I mean, you know, he let them know that every day, you know, don't esteem one day above another. You know, every day in God, that's where we want to look at it. You know, every day is Sunday. You know, every day is the Sabbath. You know, we're to get so close to God until it doesn't matter, you know. We don't want to say it just, you know, because it's a holiday, you know. It doesn't matter. You know, we're to surrender to God in such a way that every day, we don't want to esteem one day above another. Just having the opportunity to serve God, to reach out to Him and let Him know that we love Him. You know, I appreciate the Lord. So anyway, let's pray today for the needs of God's people. And I know there's, I know Sister Julie has given us a report the other day on her dad. So I don't know. We keep praying for him. Keep lifting him up. Is that progress? Oh, good. That's good. So let's keep praying. You know, we just take, you know, like we said last night about the manna, it's daily, you know. And some of the things in God, you know, sometimes we get impatient with God, but it's daily. You know, I don't want to forget that. You know, I don't want to reach out there for next week or for next year, but daily, you know, and that's, you know, God evidently thought that was important. To do things for us, you know, let us really remember, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. You know, let us be glad in this day that He's made. You know, I don't want to, I appreciate having a future, but it's not altogether promised to us, but we have this day. You know, here we are together, sitting together in heavenly places, in a heavenly place, and this day, you know, and let's take advantage of it. Let's praise God. Let's lift Him up and remember, you know, that there's people that like to be Sister Julie's dad. You know, he's made some, I don't know if they're promises, but anyway, he's talking about coming to church, and that's good. That's good. And also Sister Watson, you know, let's remember, keep praying for her. It's daily, Sister Watson. It's daily. So anyway, let's look to the Lord, you know. He given us this day, so let's take it. Sister Brian, remember Brother Larry, pray for him. I was talking to him yesterday about, you know, on the road, I think about these brothers, Brother Paul, you know, driving. God's mercy, who was I talking to? Brother, we was up at Brother and Sister Parker's anniversary thing last weekend, and Brother, Bayless, not Bagley's, but anyway, we was just talking, you know, about the, you know, God's people. You know, I was thinking about Brother Brian, Brother Paul driving on the road and the dangers that, you know, they could encounter and face. But, you know, God does keep his hand. I mean, we was talking about all the travels that God's people, the body of Christ, do, you know, meetings, and I'm sure they take time off, go on vacations and different things. You know, I don't like to mention it because, you know, sometimes you mention something, it happens. But God does watch out for his people. And I appreciate that. He was talking about, you know, you don't see very few, you know, accidents. He was just talking about driving, you know, on the road. And they many, many miles, you know. And that just tells me that God does take care of his people. I mean, God's people. I mean, we can trust God in that. That's what I'm saying. We can trust God. You know, we don't want to try to do things, you know, just to be doing. But, I mean, especially if you're working for the Lord. If you're doing this, you know, if you're going to God, to meetings, you know, I mean, come on. That's, you know, that's God's work. And I remember when Sister Hodges was here in Little Rock, and she lived over here. The people that, not from Little Rock, but I know, but anyway, it's a College Station. That's where she lived. That's a bad part of town, okay, just in case you didn't know that. But anyway, she lived over there, and she had a little bit of trouble getting people to take her home. But anyway, every time I would think about taking her home, I would think about, God, this is one of your child, you know, one of your children. And I don't, you know, when you're working for God, dangers, they seem to, they get dispelled a little bit. I put it there. They're there. I'm not saying they're not there, but you get a different perspective about danger when you're working for God. You know, if God, especially if God told you to do it. You know, if you're on a mission for God, don't worry about the dangers. That's why I look at it. That's why I look at it. I feel like if God sent you, he'll take care of you. And I believe that. And that's my trust in God. If you're working for God, I believe if you're on a mission for him, he'll provide for you. He'll take care of you. And that's my trust in God, is to believe that he will be there for you. You know, and that's the way it is with troubles. You know, I mean, I feel like if you got troubles, and just to have that assurance that God, he said he'd be with you. He said he'd never forsake you. Just believe that, you know. Just have that in your heart that God will be with, he'll be there for you. You know, if you know God is in your troubles with you, then you can handle it. You can go through it. If you know God is with you. And that's what I trust that. I want that to become part of my life, is to be able to just stand with God and trust him for what he said he'd do. And I've seen it. You know, I mean, if you, you know, I've lived long enough to see things happen and see that God had to have had his hand in it. And that's what I want to see. I want to see God in whatever's going on. If I can just see you in this. And if I can do that, then I believe I can make it. You know, that's what we have to do. We have to look for God. So anyway, let's pray today. We've mentioned Sister Watson, Brother and Sister Crow. Just remember them. My wife and mother. She is doing better. They are facing a decision, though. Whether, you know, there you go again. You know, your life is full of those decisions. You have to decide whether she can manage on her own, which don't look like she can. But she has to be convinced of that. You know, I was reading this deal about hardships. Accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. You know, sometimes you're gonna have hardships in your life, but if you can accept that, and I was thinking about the peace part of it comes when you accept it. You know, because if you're fretting over something or fighting something, you don't have peace about it. But once you accept it, then that's where the peace comes. You know, it says, you know, if you're going to have hardships in this life, it said hardships, accepting hardships, you know, we have to accept it. It's a pathway. as a pathway to peace. So anyway, think about it. But anyway, let's pray. Is there any other requests? Yes, I'm sorry. You? Sister Holland, remember her. Brother, good to see you, Brother Johnson. Brother Shelby here today. We still praying for your wife, Brother Johnson. You're lifting her up. All right. So go ahead. Go ahead. With that? Sister Donna, pray for Sister Donna. Okay. Okay. It's your brother-in-law. Your brother, okay. Remember, Sister Cindy's brother. Keep praying. But he's doing something better. Okay. Remember, Sister Cindy's brother, Sister Lynette. Oh, okay. All right, remember Fred, Caleb. Okay, Hannah's grandmother, okay. Great-grandmother, okay. All right, so remember that need today. All right, anybody else? Yes, sir.
Brother Tally. Georgia, the pastor in Georgia, his granddaughter, still in a coma, medically induced coma. She's having all these seizures, but it looks like that they are, I mean, from the reports, it sounds like that their condition's improving and there's more hope than there was, but let's keep her in her prayers. Then this child, this baby that is in UAMS, Tackett's. She was born 9 ounces, and she's been in the hospital 3 months already, and they say it'll be another 3 months before she gets out. But this family came from the Jackson, Mississippi Assembly, so they've been out of church for a while, but they kind of want to, they're expressing that they want to get their life back connected with God. So let's pray for that family.
The UAMS here?
Yes, UAMS here. Seemed like we had another need pretty serious last night. What was it? Brother Veeley's wife has cancer.
Cancer.
Her cancer's come back. Oh, yes. And Brother McElroy's son in Jacksonville Assembly has brain cancer.
Brain cancer.
Inoperable. So, also, it's sure good to see Brother Johnson back here today. Glad to see him. And then his wife. Let's his keep wife. Remembering yeah. here her, Beth. Beth.
Yes, sir. Natalie. All right. Remember that need. All right. Let's all stand and take our needs to the Lord and ask that God will help. You know, these different situations, different needs. Lord, we come before you this day. We know that the Lamb of wonderful names. We have all power.
The doorway to salvation.
All power. Oh God, we thank you. Come before you, Lord. I ask that you help your people. Lord, touch our needs. Hallelujah, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Oh God, we lift you. Touch each need. Oh, blessed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, merciful Savior. Thank you, God.
the Lord. All right. Be an overcomer, the song says. All right, I have an announcement here. The Home Educators of Greater Little Rock, graduating class of 2015, announces commencement exercises Thursday evening, May the 14th, 2015, at 7 p.m. at the Emmanuel Baptist Church at 501 North Shackelford Road. And we have Sister Rachel Louise Stewart graduating in that commencement exercise. So, Sister Rachel, stand up. We're thankful for your accomplishment. Trying not to be proud, we're just trying to be thankful that you've accomplished such a great feat. It is a wonderful thing to accomplish high school graduation, and she's become a young lady that is in her years of becoming an adult. She's still serving God, trying to work in the kingdom of the Lord. I appreciate that. And young people need examples. We have young people coming up behind all of you. And so I appreciate what Brother Talley said about your talents. Give them to God. I've been thinking in the last week about different ones of you. I've been thinking about, they need to be thinking about getting in this band. Getting in here and working and helping us. And developing talent. Just about anybody can learn how to play a horn if you just put your mind to it. And, you know, that's something you can do to serve God. And so I love the band. I love hearing music. It's part of our worship. It helps get us, helps get the load of the outside off of you. Helps you to begin to get your mind up, stirred up on the things of the Lord. Get the setting where we begin to get our minds and spirit in a condition where we can receive something from the Lord. It's God did that. I don't think God never intended for the world to have music out here outside of His people, His camp, His family. They all borrowed that. They stole all this music you're out here and out here in rock and roll and country western music and jazz and all of that. That was stolen. God's people started off singing and shouting and praising Him. Most, in fact, a lot of your singers, if you study about it, you'll find out these people learned how to sing in church. That's where they started out. And they, you know, and I'm not saying there shouldn't be any entertainment. You know, I think we can entertain in the house of God. Brother McGowan was telling me the other day, one night, one Saturday, Brother Clyde Patton and a couple brethren walked in the back door of the old church, I believe it was, and they thought it, maybe we was going to have church, and Brother Tucker was gone. Brother McGowan met him back there and said, we don't have church tonight. I don't know, what is y'all doing in here anyway? You just band practice. And Brother Patton saw that they was, you know, having band practice, and he said, well, said, we was hoping y'all was having church. We was going to sneak in here and have church with you. But said, y'all having band practice, huh? I said, yeah. I said, well, we got our guitars, banjo out there in the car. I said, you mind if we go get them and play with y'all a little bit? I said, they went out and got them, came in and started singing songs and playing the strum and the banjo. And so, you know, it's Music is something that the Lord's people, God put that in the hearts of his people. When the children of Israel left out of Egypt and they went across Jordan on dry ground. Of course, there's no wonder, but when Miriam grabbed her tambourine and all the ladies followed in, they started dancing and shouting and praising God. But you can be sure it wasn't the first time she ever beat on a tambourine, because she had it. She had one with her. So they was used to praising God. They were used to singing songs unto the Lord. They may had to, you know, hang their harps on the willows while they was there in Egypt, but they still probably had some of them old songs of Zion, you know, in their heart that they picked up somewhere back in the days of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And so God's always had a people. He's always had a people that loved him. And so think about that. Who knows? Brother John, you may get you a horn before this is over with. Who knows? We may get Brother John tooting on a horn. Anyway, I'm always picking on Brother McPhee, but I like him, that's why. Anyhow, didn't you enjoy that song today when we were singing about the let the temple be filled with his glory? That's what God came in this service on that song. Did you pick that up? That's something we have to watch for. What is the Spirit saying to the church? What's God saying to us? It took my mind back when we started singing that song. Let the temple be filled with his glory. Let the courts be filled with his praise. Let us worship the Lord in the Holy of Holies. Let Zion rejoice again. Zion, of course, refers to Jerusalem. Zion is the hills of Zion is in Jerusalem, and that's where Moses got his met with the Lord. Of course, they went around the mountain several times before they were able to actually go into the promised land. The mountain range was pretty big. But God finally told him in the 40th chapter of Exodus, he began to give him instructions to build the temple, build the tabernacle, build the courts. And God had a great purpose in that. If you can get the lesson on it, there's a great lesson in God having them build. Of course, they built a tabernacle in the wilderness. It was mobile. You know, they had to pack it up, move it with them as they went on their journey to the promised land. When they finally got to the promised, but when Moses did build it, they first built this. The Holy of Holies was a place where God had them build they had the Ark of the Covenant. God had them build an ark and overlay it with gold. And in that ark, they had two golden cherubims that overshadowed it, and their wings touched each other. And that was a picture of the Old and New Covenant. That God in Christ was, God was manifested in that, the Word of God. God himself and Jesus were manifested in those two cherubims that were revealed. He was revealed in the Old and New Covenant. And there was the tables of the Ten Commandments that was written on stone that God gave Moses. It was placed there in that, in the ark. And then there was a rod, Aaron's rod. God made it bud. There was a budded rod laying there. Had a bud on it, a flower bud. Showed that it brought life. That represented the Word of God. And Aaron's rod, yes, that budded. Coming up in a resurrection. And even coming back in this life, resurrecting, just like Lazarus did. And seeing God manifested, you know, to see, who was it? Look at this scripture in Hebrews, I think it's in the second chapter, where he said, talking about Jesus, he said in the 8th verse, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet." For in that he put all things in subjection, that is God putting all things in subjection to his Son Jesus, he left nothing that's not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. Now, when he wrote this, Jesus had been dead for 30 years or longer. But what he meant was, we see the body of Christ. We see him manifested. We have an understanding of why Jesus came here. We see him. That's what Job meant when he said, "Though yet in my flesh I'll see God." He didn't mean I'm going to resurrect and see God and go straight to heaven. He knew he was going to get a resurrection in his flesh. But he was going to see more than he had ever seen before. He was going to have a greater understanding. And eventually it would take him to seeing God the Father in person. Isn't that the hope you have today? I do. I don't know. I can't fathom that. I just can't fathom it. I don't know. I know Moses got to see his hinder parts. Moses, he sat down and ate with Jesus and some angels. So did Abraham. But he got to see the hinder parts of God. No man's looked on God's face and lived, the Bible said. But God hid Moses in the cleft of a rock. He wanted to see him. And God said, "You can't see my face, but I'll let you see me as I pass by." And when he walked by, he saw his hinder parts. Well, that just helps me know God's got hinder parts. He's got forward parts, too. We were created after his image, so he saw him walk by. Well, I'm sure God can take on just about any form if he wants to, or he can be invisible. I'm sure of that, too. If Jesus can appear and disappear, well, I know God can. And he's a spirit, but you're spirits too. Y'all know that? You're a spirit. John said, "Believe not every spirit." For many false prophets have gone out into the world. We all have a spirit, don't we? We're all spirit beings. You may be of the wrong spirit, but hopefully everybody's in here of the right spirit. I'm trying to get mine changed over. I still got a little bit of Adam's spirit in me. I hope it's just a little bit, but sometimes I think there's more there than what I want it to be. But getting back on this tabernacle that God had Moses to build. He built this, it was called the Holy of Holies. That's as holy as you can get, the holiest place you could get. God made it the ultimate place. And he had him to build it, and then he had him, that was built and put in a compartment, had curtains around it, because they had to take all that down. And then he had him build the holy place. That was right in front of it, attached to it. And the holy place had a golden candlestick that sat on a pedestal, and it went up with one stem to the top, and the top had a bowl in it. And they filled that with olive oil. And then it had two stems coming out like this up that was even with the top bowl. It had bowls in it, and they filled those two bowls with olive oil. Then it had two more stems under that that went up on the outside of those stems and had bowls even across the top. And then down at the bottom had more. There was six stems, two on each side, with bowls at in each one of them. And so there were six bowls in those six stems. And then in the top main stem, there was a bowl in the top of it, which made seven golden candlestick lights. They lit that olive oil that was in those lights. They had to trim that lamp and make sure it had oil in it every day. It had to, those lights had to stay on. And those represented the seven spirits of God that was in the holy place. There's a sevenfold light of God that He wants us to all come to a place of understanding, a clear, full understanding, where this writer of Hebrews said, we don't see Jesus over or everything under Him yet, but we see Jesus. That's because they had a sevenfold light in that New Testament church. He was a priest. I think the scripture says that in the book of Revelations, that he was the Lord. The sevenfold light is from the front before the Lord in the holy place, and so there's a sevenfold light of God. It's mentioned in the 11th chapter of Isaiah, and these seven spirits of God are listed there. The first one is the Spirit of the Lord, God the Father, His Spirit, His presence. Aren't you glad you're serving a God that has presence, so you can feel His presence? You can feel God. Isn't it wonderful to be able to feel? I felt the Spirit of God here today. I appreciate that. Because it'd be hard for me to serve a God I couldn't feel. But His presence, that's what helps me to know God is real. Did y'all feel Him today? Sometimes it's good to, like we did here today, let me encourage you to get out of your seat once in a while. Move around a little bit. It helps your emotions. You know, Jesus said to serve the Lord thy God with all your soul, your mind, and your strength. You need to put all you got into it. You know, these people, go to ball games and they root for their hero or whoever their favorite player is. They clap and shout when they do something that they like them to do. Every once in a while, I'll be watching something like that in sports, and I'll say, "Oh no!" My wife will say, "I can't believe you got that involved in that." I say, "Well, every once in a while, I'm not an avid sports fan, but as much as some other people. But I can just walk by a TV and see a guy playing golf and see him just barely at ball, just kind of wiggle in the hole and right back out, and I'm liable to say, "Ooh, he almost made that." it does something in my emotions. Well, I think we ought to have some emotions serving God. We ought to have something that there ought to be a joy. There ought to be something when you feel and you see that the life that's in Aaron's Aaron's rod that budded. Almost said bud that rotted, didn't I? But there's life in this Word of God. There's life. It gives life. You can feel it. And God's presence. And then the Spirit of understanding. God manifests Himself in seven different ways. His presence. Then He'll quicken you with understanding. When the Word of God goes forth, sometimes you can just read the Word of God and the Spirit of God will quicken you and you'll get something. You see, you've never seen it before. You read it maybe many times, but this time when you read it, the Spirit of God quickens you and you see something there. And it ministers to you. It's a little morsel of that bread Brother Painter was talking about last night. It's daily bread. If you read it every day, you'll get something every day. It'll keep you alive spiritually. And then knowledge. To have knowledge. The spirit of knowledge. You got to get knowledge for it to ever be quickened and turn into understanding. Wisdom. Wisdom. I left wisdom out. The spirit of wisdom. Really, you got to have knowledge before it can become understanding. You got to have understanding before it can become wisdom. Isn't it? To know wisdom is to know how to use understanding, when to use it, how it properly fits for the circumstance that's at hand. And it takes God to help us with that. That's why, you know, we're filled with decisions in life. Our everyday life, we're filled with decisions. If you're not growing in spiritual wisdom, you'll make carnal decisions that will hinder you serving God. That's right. And if we're not careful, we'll make mistakes because we're not touching God enough. That's why I'm telling you, it's important for you to touch God. It's important for you to feel the Spirit of God. It's important for you to yield to it. It's important for you to press and get that touch where God, where the Holy Ghost can quicken. If you don't do that, and here's the practice ground for that. Here's where they have band practice, then we have church, and we have spirit practice. We're practicing how to walk in the Spirit. We're practicing how to feel God, how to touch God, how to yield over to the Holy Ghost. That's why we encourage people, get out of your seat. Move around. Get your hands up in the air. Give your emotions over to God. Press, seek, and you'll find Him. Hallelujah. Knock, and it'll be open to you. Yes, get your mind on God. Gird up your mind and try to get a hold of God. Touch Him. I think it'd be a good thing if we'd all put our phones down when we're in church. Some of you are clicking and messing with your phone the whole service. It aggravates me. I've got mine, but I'll guarantee you I'm not playing with it. I'm not browsing the web. I'm looking up scriptures. I've got my mind what's going on here. And if you can't give a couple hours to God, just put all that aside. Get away from it. And let God know I want to receive something from you. Don't you know God sees all that? He sees our carnality. He sees whether or not we're girded up or we're here to receive something from Him or not. God knows that. And I had to repent myself to God from time to time and get myself back on track. Say, God, help me to seek You. Help me to knock. Help me to, I want You to open up to me. I want You to help me and lead me. And so I'm talking to myself as much as I am to y'all, but I hope you rake some of it in for yourself. You know, it's good for all of us. And I just think we ought to work on some of these things. I don't know. I was just thinking yesterday, or maybe the day before, I lose track of time sometime, but I was thinking how much technology has changed last 10 years. Or I saw something, I can't remember even what it was, a picture in a paper, maybe it was on, I don't remember where, but it was dated 2000, the year of 2000. I saw this picture and there happened to be a TV in the picture, and I thought, my Lord, that thing's antique. 15 years ago, you know, 2000 ain't too far back. But, I mean, technology is changing so rapidly, and it's changing our lives. You know, how many of y'all, now don't raise your hands, but how many of y'all are sitting at home, you and your husband and your kids, and y'all are all sitting there doing this? You know, and they don't even, for hours. And they don't even know anybody else is in the room. You know, I mean, I know because me and my wife, we catch ourselves doing that sometimes. Sometimes she said, can't you put that thing down? Sometimes she says, she told Brother and Sister McGowan the other day, she said, when he dies, I'm throwing that thing in the casket with him. helpless. She needs to worry about the one she's pecking with. She's just about as bad as I am. Well, anyway, I am trying to work on it. I'm beginning to realize there ain't nothing on that thing is all this important. You know, it does fill you with all kinds of knowledge and all kinds. It occupies your mind. But what's it occupying your mind with? You know, we're losing communication and contact with one another just about. I mean, I know we're texting one another. Lord, ain't no telling how many texts we get or emails we get. And it is handy. Just remember, there's quite a few people killed and dying in cars from trying to make that thing work while they're driving down the road. How many of y'all have looked up from and just almost had a wreck? Huh? I have. I'm sorry, I have, but I'm trying to work on that. There's nothing that important that it can't wait. In fact, I can't, you know, what did we do when we didn't have these things? You know, we just had to wait till we got home. And if you didn't get anybody, you called them again. There wasn't no voicemail. You know, there wasn't a text that you could read or a notification, you know, little notification light blinking. I got my notification turned off. That thing drives me crazy. But anyway, let me get back on the tabernacle. These things are important. This seven golden candlestick, the fear of the Lord, that's one of God's seven spirits that will cause you to have awe and reverence and even be afraid of God. We should all be afraid of God. He's the Almighty. He is the King of Kings. He is the Creator of creation. He is the all and all. He is the highest that there is. And he sets up kings. He puts them down. He created everything that's created. And it's vast. Our band was singing that song to hear, or playing that band number for here today. How great thou art. Oh my God. How great he is. I appreciate the writer of that song. There's no doubt in my mind it was under Holy Ghost inspiration. To help us from time to time to sing a song of how great God is, His vast domain. Oh, His vast greatness. It's beyond comprehension to think that I have, by faith, an opportunity and have been granted the chance to know Him. Understand some things about Him. Understand all that I need to understand about Him to one day see Him as He is. To stand in His presence. To have Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. My Lord. So, what a God that we're serving out of all this creation, and He chose you. His choosing, His election has reached you and I. And here, this is part of God's election. Part of His plan to save mankind was to choose a people. There were just 70 souls of them. Started with the man Abraham. Really, you could go back with, you know, the righteous line with Seth and Abel, and then Seth, and right on down to finally Noah, and then Noah finally and his children. Finally, out of that, God found a man by the name of Abraham, and out of him, out of his loins, He started an election of people that He was going to use to save the world and reconcile the world back to God. And 70 little souls, finally God took them down into Egypt. God started this with a very humble beginning. But finally He had this man Moses. lead those people out. 70 people turned into over 3 million that came out of Egypt and began to go. Can you imagine seeing that many people going across the desert? Carrying a tent and little bitty babies and even the cripples and the blind people. They had people like that. They had to go slow enough. God gave them commandment. Go slow enough that they can go too. We're going to go slow enough in here. If you can't see Jesus yet, if you really don't have a clear vision yet of what God's doing, we'll go slow enough that you can go with us. We won't shut you out just because you don't see everything everybody else sees yet. And if you're crippled, if you don't have a foundation of God's Word in your life, we'll help you along. We'll get a hold of you. We'll hold you up. We'll carry you along with us until finally you get strength in your feet. You can stand up on your feet and stand for righteousness. And God can begin to work in your life where you begin to stand against the wiles of the enemy out here and be able to walk in the principles of righteousness. Amen. So we want to do that. We don't want to leave anybody out. God didn't want to leave anybody out. It was pretty strict back then in those days. There were laws. I mean, you could lose your life. There were laws. There were commandments that if you broke them, it cost you your life. You'd be stoned to death. You'd be put out because God didn't want his camp or his election to be defiled. That had happened before. He had to destroy the whole world with a flood because that world became defiled. The inventions, man's minds invented evil to such a way that it was corrupting God's plan. There's more corruption today in the world than there was back there, but in the beginning it was a very small populace of people that it could have corrupted God's plan if he'd allowed it to go on. So in his wisdom, another one of God's spirits, seven spirits that he manifests him in, is in might, power, strength. The Lord does mighty things. He's a mighty God. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. He can help you when there's no way out. God can make a way out for you. He can, if you'll serve him, God can fix your life. If you'll just put him first before everything and serve him and be obedient and get his righteous principles established in your life, God will, he'll carry you when you can't carry yourself. God will do that for you. There's so many times Brother Painter referred to Gideon, that God humbled him down and showed him, I'll take you down to 300 men. What did he start with? He started with how many? 10,000 men, and God honed him down to 300 to fight the Midianites. Well, that looked like looked like Gideon would have said, this is nuts. This is crazy. But God showed him. God showed him, I don't even need 300. I don't need you. All I got to do is just blow a little puff of wind. I can blow them all away. Don't tell me what we can and can't do. And I'll just show you. If you'll just get down to those that are humble enough and have enough faith and enough courage to believe in me and do what I tell you to do, I'll show you the spirit of might. I'll show you power that you don't know nothing about. My God. And here Moses, God's telling him, I want you to build this holy place. Put this candlestick in it. And make sure all seven lights are lit up. And then he said, I want you to make a table. Standing up on four legs. And make 12 loaves of unleavened bread and set it on that table. That represents the unleavened. That represents the undefiled, the unadulterated Word of God. There's no puffiness in it. There's no falsehood. There's no lies. It's the truth of God's Word. He said the true worshipers must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And God, He put something together back there that represented what He was going to do in Jesus Christ, but he rehearsed them in that and kept them working in that to help them get an understanding. Let me tell you something. Those men back there, they understood what those things meant. They understood what that Holy of Holies was. They understood it represented heaven itself. It represented where God in Christ was, where life came from that was in that bud of Aaron's rod. They understood that the Ten Commandments are eternal. The Word of God that's undefiled. The Word of God, it would never do any of those things because it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, temperance, faith, meekness. So those things, and then hope and the gifts of God are the fruit of God's Spirit. That's what these things will produce when you get there in that place with God. When you begin to get this spiritual light, a spiritual understanding, and God begins to manifest Himself to you by the Holy Ghost. It's a spiritual understanding, and you've got to stay spiritual to keep getting it. You can lose it. It's like I was saying last night. You can get off track. That's why we got to be here. That's why I need you. That's why we need each other. That's why this is a family. That's why we're connected. You can't get scattered out here, get too far away where you don't have a real true connection in a local church. God ordained that. The assembling of ourselves together is not just to come together, you know, one or two times a week or three just for service. Our lives are connected. We're assembled. They were a camp around that tabernacle. This is a spiritual tabernacle. I want to hurry up because I want to say more about this. But then after they got that Holy of Holies built, the Ark of the Covenant, the cherubs, the holy place, the seven golden candlestick, the table. And it had four legs. There were four legs that held up that table that held up the loaves of bread. We've always taught those four legs are the foundation of the principles of Christ. Those are the four major doctrines. The doctrine of baptisms, the doctrine of resurrections, eternal judgments, and the doctrine of laying on of hands. Those are the foundations that hold up the Word of God, the unleavened bread. And we've always taught that. And then Moses built that outer court. He built an outer court, and the outer court right in front of the temple. The tabernacle. It was a tent of meeting back there in the wilderness. He built a laver. God told him, He said, make a laver. It was a bowl that filled with water that the priest had to wash themselves in. And He told him to line the thing with women's looking glasses. How many of you women have looking glasses? I'm fixing my deal here. It's bothering me. Anyway, how many of you women got a compact with a mirror in it in your purse? Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Surely, any of you men got a purse with one? But women do. That's why He said, get it from them women. They got them. They got them looking glasses. Well, back then it was made out of brass, polished brass. And He took women's looking glasses and lined that bowl with it. And filled it full of water, and when those priests looked down in that bowl, they saw themselves. That was a picture. James uses a scripture in the book of James here when he says, he that looks into the perfect law of liberty and forgets what he saw. You can look in this Word of God. We can come together and look at it together, but you can go away not remembering what sort of person you saw in there. But if you'll see yourself, you'll see in this perfect law of liberty, in this women's looking glasses, the washing of the water of the Word of God will help you cleanse yourself of the things that you see that God shows you when you look into it. And so God put a laver out there. Filled it full of water. Lined it with looking glasses. You think God didn't think about how he's going to do this? Then he had him build a brazen altar. There was a gate on the east side. They always positioned this thing where the gate was on the east side. And when you went in, the first thing you saw was a brazen altar. It was made out of brass. Everything in the holy place and Holy of Holies was made out of gold. But brass represents a weaker element, a weaker metal, and it represents flesh. That's where we're at today. We're in the outer court. We're in the outer court where the brazen altar is. The laver was made out of brass. Everything in the outer court was brass. It was something weaker. But when you move into the holy place, that's where we're trying to get right now. But your sacrifice, when you went into the gate, and you brought a sacrifice, whether it was one of the three main feasts of the year or whether you just brought in a sin sacrifice or a meat offering or a peace offering to God or a sin offering, you know, when you offered up every morning and every evening, there was a morning and evening sacrifice that had to be offered up to keep the whole temple, the whole tabernacle holy and the priesthood holy. They had to operate with sacrifices being offered up and blood to sanctify. You got to keep your life sanctified. You got to keep it set apart from the things that's in the world. When you come in this gate, it takes faith to get in here. We're justified by faith, and it takes the gate of faith to get in. But then there's commandments. You're to be obedient to the Word of God. You're to be disciplined, a disciple of Christ. You're to be disciplined, this fleshly fallen condition, and keeping it on an altar. See now, the priests did this work. When you came in and offered a sacrifice, you brought your sacrifice, stood before a priest, and you offered it, and it burned. They burned it on the altar. And then the priest, if it was a blood sacrifice, you know, he did take blood from the sacrifices that he offered on blood sacrifices. Blood was put on the altar. The thing was burned. The ashes went down to the base of the altar. But then the priest had to go to the laver. There's where he had to wash himself, look at himself, wash him, and he had to change clothes. He had on a woolen garment, which when you got on wool, it's hot. It'll make you sweat. That represents the flesh. You smell the stench of sweaty flesh. But before God would let you go in the holy place, you had to change into a linen garment. Linen garment is... it's lighter. It's cooler. And it had to be white. White's a picture of righteousness. You had to put on a different robe of righteousness. That's why, you know, in the book of Revelation in the 6th chapter, the souls under the altar, white robes were given to them. When you give your life for God in faith and you're serving God, he counts you righteous. When you come to God and you're living a dedicated life, He gives you a robe, a white robe. He counts you righteous. What Jesus did for you and I. You can go home tonight, and as long as you're doing all you know to do and you're repenting to God and you're living a dedicated life and a sanctified life, you're wearing a white robe. God, He counts you righteous. Jesus covers you with as a mediator, as a high priest, and He counts you righteous, sinless. He said, I'm covering you. We're not going to judge you for any of the things that's in your flesh. You may have emulation. You may have strife. You may have envy. A lot of things going on in your heart. But because of your faith, and because of My sacrifice, I'm counting you righteous. I'm not going to charge you with any of that. But I am going to require you to overcome that. I'm going to count you righteous until I work a work in you and you become My workmanship. And so all of this, when Moses got this built, finally they finished the whole thing, the glory of God filled that place that Moses couldn't even go close to the holy place. He couldn't go close to the Holy of Holies because the presence of God was so strong. And then when they finally did get to the Promised Land and Solomon built the permanent temple, when he got that built, the Bible said the priests couldn't stand. They weren't able to stand in the place before the Lord because the glory of God was so strong. Look how God was showing his favor and his purpose. He sealed it with a witness, with His presence that was so great that man couldn't stand before that. He couldn't minister before that. While that glory was so strong. Sometimes we have that in here. Because now when Jesus came, He fulfilled the law, and we're no longer have a permanent temple. But he said, "Know you not that your bodies is the temple of God?" Here, the Lord moved this out of a physical tabernacle, an old roughshod tabernacle, and he moved it inside a life. But He also moved it in a group of people called the body of Christ, that we're holding God in our midst. He's come into our lives. All of these things have a fulfillment. This outer court, we're the gate. You get in this through the gate of faith. You know, there's a look real quick in 2 Peter. He sort of goes through this in a. Also, you and I are called. These were priests that did this under the old covenant, under the law of Moses. They had the office of a priesthood. But did you know God's called you to be a priest? He's called every one of you to be a priest, a king and a priest. Yeah, before we look in there, just go to Revelations. Let me give you a couple scriptures in the book of Revelations. Because God is, those priests represented what God wants in your life and in my life. It's like ministers. You know, some saints has the idea that preachers, there's more required of preachers. No, we're just the first partakers. God called us to minister to y'all, to give to y'all, so you could have what God wants you to have, and He wants you to be like Jesus. He wants you to be a king and a priest. He wants you to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years, and He wants you to be a priest with Him. He's the high priest. He wants you to work in the priesthood, ministering to His people to save this world. Saviors, the prophet said, will rise up on thee, Mount Zion. Look in Revelation 1. Let me just find that. All right, it's in the... let's start in verse 4 because it gives you the context. John, this is the Apostle John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Not the only, just the first. So you're to be begotten of the dead too. In fact, if you already saved, you were dead in trespasses of sins, and you're begotten of the dead. You haven't resurrected out of this body of death into a new glorious body, but you've already resurrected. If you've got the Holy Ghost and you're serving God, then God's moved you out of death into life. You're first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. There's one more scripture. It's in the 5th chapter, I believe, that verse 10. All right. Okay, let's back up to verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Jesus took the book out of the right hand. There was a book sealed within and without and on the backside. It was the word of God that hadn't been yet revealed. But he took the book. He was the word of God, the revealed word of God. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. This takes it beyond just Israel, doesn't it? This is out of every people. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So God's calling us. If you're going to be in his bride, you're going to reign. You're going to be a king. He said If you're faithful over a small thing, I'm going to make you ruler over many. Jesus gave a parable how God would take a man cities he reigned over? If he was faithful over so many, he gave him 10 cities to rule over, 5 cities to rule over, 3 cities to rule over. God's going to make you a king to rule. I don't know how all that's going to work. Sounds interesting, though, don't it? That you're going to be like Jesus, a king and a priest, and your assignment. What if God gives you 10 cities? Say, I want you to save them cities. I want you to work with this ministry. I want you to labor. Come give me some reports. If you don't know what to do in some things, your higher matters, bring them to me. I'll tell you how to handle it. Whew. My Lord, you think you're just going to float around on the cloud? No, we're going to be busy. until we get this world, till every knee bows, till every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Hallelujah. What an interesting calling. What an interesting work that he's called us to do. Over here in the second, in 2 Peter, let me just refer to that a minute, where he says in verse 2, at 2 Peter 1, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things." Everybody say all things. Whew. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Promises that exceed. They're greater than. And by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence. Now here, give all diligence. Everybody say all diligence. Ooh. That's easy to say, but how many of you feel like I'm giving all diligence? Oh God, help me, Lord. Help me to see how important this is. Help me to see the reward and how vital it is, how more important than anything else in life is. That I would give all diligence and that I would add to faith. See, I got in this by faith. I went in the gate. Get the picture of this tabernacle or this temple. You go in the outer court. You go in the gate. You go in the gate of faith. I have faith. Somewhere God touched me. Somewhere I got a touch from heaven. God touched my mind. He convicted my spirit. Caused me to believe that I could be saved and that he wanted to save me. And when faith came in my heart and I responded to it, I entered in by faith. That's the gate. And add to your faith virtue. What happens when you get in the gate? There's a brazen altar there. It takes strength. It takes God giving you strength to offer a sacrifice, to say, God, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to put my life on the altar. See, Jesus really showed us what all those blood sacrifices were. He said, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me." He realized those sacrifices represent me. I'm the lamb that has to get up on this altar. I'm the one that has to let God. I've got to offer my life. I've got to let him burn and everything out of my life. It has to be a sacrifice to get rid of all the flesh and let God preserve what he can preserve, what he wants out of it. And that my life, the flesh, has got to be done away with. My life's got to be a sacrifice. I've got to go through a process of offering myself to him and letting him change me. There's nothing good in me. It's going to take something new from God. And then I'll go from this sacrifice of a sanctified life, of obeying, sacrificing whatever God requires of me. Then I'll go to the labor. I look in now, I'm beginning to serve God, and I'm looking in this perfect law of liberty. And I'm seeing myself. And the washing of the water of the Word is taking place in my life. and God is cleaning my life up. You know, I was looking at what is that show that they're they have this singing there, you know. Gaither's Homecoming Singings. And I enjoy that because it's just beautiful. The songs that God's anointed. But I was just watching the other day. I walked by and that was on somewhere. But I saw these people that were singing it. And I saw all, you know, kinds of people dressing different ways. And they were kind of uncouth, you know. And I thought, oh, God, don't let us get this watered down too much. Let us, help us to get this, to stay in a sanctified. Let us look into this perfect law of liberty and see what manner of person God wants us to be. Have y'all got pictures of before and after? You know, every once in a while, Sister Smith will pull one out of me and on me, and I'll say, don't you put that thing anywhere anybody can see it. You know. And you know, because I'm not proud of what I used to be. But I'm thankful for what He's brought me from. Hallelujah. And this labor, I've looked into this labor. You ministers of God have helped me. You've ministered the labor to me, and I've seen myself. And the water has washed me and cleansed me with the Holy Ghost. Do you realize it takes the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is in that labor. The Spirit of God's in that labor that causes the... You can't get washed. Just the letter will kill you. But the Spirit of God mixed with it, it's the water of the Word of God, the Spirit of it, the Holy Ghost working in the knowledge of the Word of God, and God starts working down in your soul. We get in those services where the Spirit of God starts stirring down in your soul. Nobody knows what's going on inside of you but you and God. And He's dealing with you. He's talking to your life. He's talking to your heart. He's talking to your spirit. He's ministering to you. And nobody knows but you what He's doing in your heart. But He's washing you. He's cleansing you. He's touching you down deep where you really live. The very seat of your affection. God gets a hold of you. The Holy Ghost does that with the Word of God. It takes them both. It takes the Holy Ghost. No wonder Brother Souter said the Holy Ghost movement was in the labor. That's where the Holy Ghost movement is. It's when God poured out the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's when God began to restore greater truths. It began to get illuminated. The spirit of understanding began to work. The seven spirits are in the before the throne. Before the Lord, He's our mediator in there. But He ministers that to us from out of the throne. It touches us out here in the outer court. He's touching us out here, getting us ready to get in there. And He's finally going to get us to a place where He begins to clothe us with a white robe. We start, our spirit changes. Our demeanor changes. Finally, love, joy, peace. You know, you meet somebody and you think, dear God, Jesus, you just walk around in sandals. You just got an old everyday. You ain't even pretty to look at, but you're so full of joy. I can feel God every time I get around you. And you're just beaming with the things of God. The glory of God just radiates out of you. But you ain't got nothing compared to this world. Well, he's got something that the world don't know nothing about. We sang that song. I got something that the world didn't give and the world can't take it away. Oh, God. He starts clothing us with that robe to give all diligence to get this. Oh, God. It takes God to help us. God, help me to have all diligence. Help me to put forth, you know, I got to have strength from the Lord. I need virtue from this sacrifice place that I'm to give me diligence, to help me to go on. Because it takes every one of these steps causes you to develop and grow to a place that gives you strength to go on. And sometimes you can get in a place where you're so comfortable. I think we're pretty comfortable. You know, before you get to the promised land, you know, some of the children of Israel said, man, let's just stay over here on this side. This is pretty. You know, this is nice land for our cattle. You know, the river's just as nice on this side as it is on the other side. But God wanted them to conquer the ites because he wanted them to rule and reign. He wanted sin to be eradicated. He wanted the ites of the land to be rooted up and got out of there. He wanted righteousness to inhabit the land. That's what God wants. And sometimes we get in such a comfortable place with God, I think, well, Lord, I just feel good. You know, you're blessing me, and I'm just happy, and your favor's been on me, your blessings are on my life. But God said, no, you can't stay where you're at because there's too many ites in the land. You got to cross over. There's another step you're going to have to make, and there's ites in the land that I want you to conquer because you'll never be a king and a priest and help me save this world if you can't save yourself, and I'm giving you the power and strength to do it, and you got to get the ites out of your land. See, this thing has gotten out of a tabernacle of Moses and the temple of Solomon, and it's moved down inside my soul. And God's telling me, you've entered into a gate of faith that the temple of God's working inside of you, and you're making sacrifice at the brazen altar. All of this is taking place right inside my soul. But I got to have you. I got to have your ministering to me, because we're bone of bone, flesh of one another's flesh. We're connected in this, and what God's given you, he hasn't given me all of it. I got to have you to get what I need for this operation inside of me to actually be accomplished. What a God. What a God that said, you can't do this by yourself. You got to have one another. You got to be a part of each other. You got to be connected. That's why there has to be an order among God's people. There has to be an assembly. You got to interact. Not just church service. You got to have fellowship with each other. You got to help one another with needs. You got to have work days to keep the church up, but you got to keep one another up. We have to care for each other. We have to minister to each other. We got to serve one another. It's part of it. What you have in your life that God's doing in your life, I got to have it. It's got to work in me. He gives you something. We're a body. I can't say I don't need you. Don't let the hand say to the foot, I don't need you. Don't let any part of this body say, you know, I can just make it, you know, with just a service here and there. You know, just going to church. People get the idea, you know, let me tell you something. God's got an order. Before this is over with, you're going to work in his order or you won't make it. You're going to be where God put you. You know. And I know it's going to take a ministry. It's going to take a ministry that God's presence and anointing can work through that will cause people to fear God. Not fear man. Not fear his ministry, but fear him and his operation and his order. And fear every one of his children that are working in that order. Just look around. Even right now, you can see people whose favor, God's favor, is on their life. When your life starts getting a chaotic mess, when it starts getting out of sorts, you ought to start thinking immediately, God, where am I missing you? What am I doing wrong? What is going on? You need to begin to seek him and ask, God, help me. Help me get back on track. Let me get you back on the front burner of my life. Because you can get God in your life so situated that the glory of God fills your temple. Let that temple, let the courts be filled with praise. Let the temple be filled with His glory, this temple. God, let Your glory work in my life. Let me get things so situated right in this operation of the temple worship that Your glory is present to where the flesh can't stand before You. That it's glorious. Jesus prayed. God, He said, how did He say that? About the give me the glory that I had with Thee before the world was. He knew there was a glory beyond what he was in, and look what He was experiencing. The power of God. The all seven spirits of God was working in Him. But yet there was still another glory. There was a celestial body. There was a place in the celestial world that was beyond anything that this life can comprehend. But He knew, I don't know if He got just little, you know, maybe He got back into a place with God in the Spirit where His mind started, He just started having little flashbacks. He said, I remember something about that. There's something about that glory world that's coming back to me. Oh God, let me have that back. Glorify me with the glory that I had with Thee. Oh God, I can't say that, but I can say, God, glorify me with the glory that You glorified Jesus with before the world was. I want to get in on that. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. What a God. What a Savior. My God, there's something that He's working on in our lives. Jesus came and fulfilled all of that back there in the end of that Jewish world. And He's been working 2,000 years, nearly, in this Gentile world to bring us. That's why that song says, that the last stanza of that song, what's it say? Let the courts be filled with His praise. Let us worship the Lord in the Holy of Holies. Let Zion rejoice again. In other words, let this come back. See, the early church had this. We're working restoring the church. You know, Ezra and Nehemiah, when they went back and found the temple in rubble, you know what God had them do? He had them rebuild it. They even had to rebuild part of the foundation. Brother, when they got that thing rebuilt, and the glory of God came back in the temple, and they had the presence of God, and the favor of God was back with the election of His people. And His people were out of Babylon. My God, what a picture for us. God's bringing us out of Babylon. Putting us into a glorious place. Hallelujah. Let Zion rejoice again. It's coming back, saints. Don't lose faith for that. Don't lose courage to continue to look for that. And to keep your hope for that. Because it's in the book. And it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Praise God. Good to be here today. Thank you. how it's going to feel necessarily for you to just go home and stay, but we're going to try it. Anyway, Brother, appreciated what Brother Talley said about us competing against the devil's night last night. We're going to try it again this coming Saturday night. We had good fellowship downstairs. They had barbecue sandwiches, cheese fries, wonderful salads, chicken strips, Cokes, ice cream. My Lord, we don't have any of that down there today, so just let your mouth water. Shake hands and be friendly. God bless you. Thank you for your attentiveness. See you Wednesday night. We're going to have the Tucker and Linegar rooms will be available for prayer from 7 to 7:30 or 7:20 or so. If you want to come early and pray, then Bible study, informal dress in the dining room Wednesday night at 7:30. See you then. God bless.